Today's New Testament reading is Romans 10, 14 to 15, which you'll find on the Church Bibles, page 1137. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are. I asked Mayowa if we could do that last song. Wasn't quite imagining the reaction it would have. It was not necessarily a good idea to sing that song this morning, but it is. It is my prayer that I will praise him in the storm. So when Sadhu asked me to teach today on listening, I was a little apprehensive because listening to God, being still with God, is not my strong point in life. Now, I love to have my cup of coffee and my Bible and my Bible highlighters and my worship music and spend time with God. I love to walk through nature and praise God. I even like to talk to God. But here's a little bit of what my conversation with God sounds like. Can I borrow you a minute, Lynn? So, this is my conversation with God. Hi, Lynn. I love you, Lynn. You are such a great friend, Lynn. I just can't tell you enough how much you mean to me and how I want to get to know you more and I want to spend time with you. And you are the best friend I could ever have. And you are a wonderful person. And I just love you so much, Lynn. Thank you. Be with me today, Lynn, as I go through my day because I need your strength today. Thanks, Lynn. Does that kind of look like a relationship? Not really. And I kind of feel like, you know, that's sometimes how my talking to God goes. I do a lot of talking and not a lot of listening. So I love our Old Testament reading today. If you have not read the story of Elijah, I challenge you, go home and read it. It is amazing. Elijah is a prophet and God has done amazing things through him. To give you a bit of background to the story, he had challenged the worshippers of Baal, to call on their God to set fire to their offering. They had cut bulls up, they'd put them on the altar. Elijah had poured water on his too, and the worshippers of Baal had spent the whole day calling on their God, slashing their arms, screaming, crying. And what happened? Nothing. Elijah calls on God and God sends a fire that not only burns the offering up, but it burns the whole altar up and all the water that he's poured over it. And then he has all the Baal worshippers put to death. And then he perseveres with God in prayer. Seven times he has someone run out to look for a rain cloud because the nation has been in a drought imposed by God. But Elijah prays that God will bring the rain. And you know what? God does bring the rain. And then Elijah pulls up his cloak and he outruns a chariot. God has done amazing things through Elijah. A couple of verses later, where do we find Elijah? Under a tree, wishing that he was dead, asking God to end his life because he's had enough. He's fearful that Jezebel is going to kill him and he's had enough and he wants to die. And you're thinking, Elijah, how have you forgotten what God has just done through you? How can you be so short-sighted? But God doesn't say that to him. God says, get up and feeds him, takes him 40 days across the wilderness, and then shows him his amazing power through wind, through fire. But that's not how he speaks to him. He speaks to him in the whisper. And then he takes Elijah back across the wilderness. And you think, oh God, what a different journey that journey back was from the one that was out there. From the desperation to the knowing that God is with you. What is it that keeps us from hearing God? Being still with God. I need to borrow the children to demonstrate. If you are a child here, please come up front. You're going to like it, trust me. All right. You know how we're always told to be quiet in church? I want you to scream at the top of your voices. Okay, but listen, when I put my hand up, will you please stop? Because otherwise, it's going to go on. All right? I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. You're all going to scream at the top of your voices. If you feel like running around, I don't care either, but you're going to scream. Ready? Yeah, you can do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Perfect, thank you. Sorry, I know we tell our kids to be quiet in church. I like screaming. You must sit down now. Is that what your life sounds like? Is it so busy that there's no time in your day? Your kids, your job, your activities? It's just so full. Where do you fit God into that time? Or maybe it's not busyness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's hurt. What stops you from hearing from God? Let me demonstrate what I've discovered in the last 2 weeks about myself. Here is St. Mark's. This is my church home. This is people I love and I care for. This is where I come to meet God. This is my kids' ministry. This is the time I enjoy spending with the children at St. Mark's. The time I enjoy spending with the teachers at St. Mark's. The lessons I write, the kids I interact with. This is a big part of my life that I love. Over this side. This is my kids. My wonderful, amazing, loving kids, my family, my friends. And this side is my loving, adoring, devoted husband. And here's my box. And I'm comfortable in my box. And I think my box is really happy. But you know what I've learned? This box is apathy. I've lowered the bar. And I've lowered the bar. And I've lowered the bar. So I can keep feeling comfortable in my box. And you know what God says? You've stopped passionately pursuing me. You've stopped passionately pursuing your husband. You've stopped passionately pursuing anything because you've got comfortable in your box. And you know what he says in Revelation? Revelation 3:15, he says, I know your deeds. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But because you are not hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth like lukewarm water. Oh my God, I don't know if that scares anyone else, but I do not want to be spat out of God's mouth. Because I don't think I'm overtly sinning. I'm not doing anything greatly wrong. I am just in my little comfortable bubble here. So then what happens? Then my box gets ripped away. And I have no box. My box is gone. Where do I do? Where do I turn to? So I turn to my Bible verses, the verses that I know and love. Psalms 18. I love you, O Lord, my God. My Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge. Psalms 121. that says, I turn my eyes onto the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Jeremiah 25:11. I know the plans I have for you, the plans for you to prosper. And you know what God says? Liar! Liar! You don't believe those verses. That is not where you're turning to. That is not where your hope is. That is not where you're looking to. You're trying to recreate this box. You're turning to your family, your friends, your church, your ministry, your bottle of wine. Where is your hope? Wow. That woke me up. That wasn't what I wanted to hear from my words of comfort. But so now I have a choice. I have a choice. Do I choose to passionately pursue God and listen to what he's telling me? Or do I stay where I am? So I figured I'd better practice what I preach before I preached it. So a month or so ago when I started preparing this sermon, I was having my quiet times with God. Now in our book, The Bells, Frost says 20 minutes once a week. It's not putting a lot of pressure on us. No distractions, no coffee cup, no Bible, no worship music. Nothing that will distract you from God. So he suggests the word. My word was Abba, Daddy, my Daddy. And those words are not meant to be chanted like Zen Buddhists. We're not trying to empty our minds. We're trying to take our minds, the thoughts that come into them, and then just let them go. And remember that we're focusing on God. So a month ago, this is kind of how it went. Oh, Abba. I really should have weed before I started this. Oh, Abba. I wonder how many patients I'll have today. Oh, Abba. I wonder what time I'll get off tonight. Oh, Abba. Has it been 20 minutes yet? Oh, that was a quick 20 minutes. And that's kind of how my quiet time went. So my quiet time doesn't look like that anymore. And you would think that now it would be so much easier. But now this is how my quiet time looks. Oh, Abba. But I hurt. Oh, Abba. But you promised. Oh, Abba. But he said. Oh, Abba. I can't go on. So, although my prayer has changed, my focus has not. My focus is still not on God. So what? So we give up? Because we can't get it right? Because it's hard? Let me tell you, I started a couch to 5K and that might kill me. Because I am so unfit. But you know what? You're not good at things when you start them. You practice them and you have to keep practicing them until you get better at them. So one day, eventually, I will run my 5K and I will be stronger for it and I will be fitter for it. And one day, I will sit in the presence of God and realize that I have done my 20 minutes without my mind wandering to 1,000 different places. So, this is my challenge to all of you this week. Find time for God, because he is the only important thing in your life. Everything else will pass away, but God will not. Whether you think you need God right now or not, you do. So spend time with him, 20 minutes, one day, and be quiet and know that he is your God. Surrender completely to him for that time. So if you think you hear from God when you're in your quiet time, then what? How do you know it's really God and not just your mind? Well, a couple of pointers. First thing I've discovered is that God will never contradict his written word. So if you think God is telling you something that is contrary to the Bible, he is not. If he is telling you it is okay to talk bad about someone else, or it is okay to harbor hatred in your heart, or it is okay to commit adultery or murder your spouse, let me tell you, that's not God. because he will never contradict his word. And secondly, God will give you a word and then he'll confirm it. He'll speak to you through the Bible and through other people. And they will confirm what he is telling you. And with time and practice, we will get better at listening to God and knowing that he's talking to us. Let's close with a prayer. Lord, all you want of us is all of us. Lord, I pray that this week we would strive to give all of ourselves to you. All our hurts, all our joys, all our pain. We offer it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. On a personal note, before we move on, I want to thank all of you that have been praying this week. And many of you have asked me what you can pray for me. And I have given you no answer because it is just a mumbled groan that I pray the Holy Spirit is taking to the Lord's ears. But yesterday at a growing leaders meeting, we were talking about surrender. And I knew that God was talking to me. I don't know what we were supposed to learn at that conference, but what I learned was that God wants me to surrender my marriage, to surrender my husband, to surrender my broken dreams, to surrender my promises, to surrender my entire life. So this week, I can tell you what I would like you to pray for me. I would ask you to pray that every day, minute by minute, I would choose to surrender my life completely, wholeheartedly to the God who created this universe. Thank you.